How old were you when you came home to the U.S.?
Around 3 and a half. My mother had told me that I was found on the steps of a government building in front of a government building around 3 months old in May. We don't really know the detail about my abandonment, but we're thinking since I have some things wrong with me, that I was probably put left in front of a hospital and maybe somebody came and found me. And we were also thinking that that my mother had died when I was older, like 3 months old.
What makes you think that?
Because most babies are abandoned when they're newborn, but I was abandoned as an older baby.
I see. 3 and a half, do you have any memory at all of China?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Having been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, my earliest memory is probably being up early wee hours morning, crying and screaming and rocking at night and being scared to sleep alone. I would rock like this in a weird way. And I would always, growing up, I would always have a stuffed animal because I felt secure.
Do you remember some of the things your dad was talking about that when you first came home, you were like, who is this guy? I'm very not interested in hanging around with him.
No, not at all.
Okay. So tell me a bit about your, I know you're would like to do a birth parent search. Are you engaged in that right now?
Yeah, I really want to do that. I feel like I can have hope and I can tell other Chinese adoptees, you know, there is hope for girls that want to find answers and want to find themselves, and that it doesn't mean you're ungrateful. It means that you just want to search for, like, self-discovery and stuff.
How would you do it, do you think? Have you researched ways to start to look?
Sort of. I thought maybe I could, like, put pictures on the internet or have somebody post, like, pictures in Yiwu, where I came from. I was told that I was Mongolian Chinese. That's why my face is very round and dark, like unlike most Han Chinese.
You told me when you decided you wanted to do our China stories that you're hoping it's in China. Is one of your hopes that, you know, your story might be seen in China by your birth parents?
Yes, I definitely want to search for my birth parents. And I want to show that, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. All things are possible with God. Even if a baby is abandoned and you don't have any clue, any paperwork or anything, you can still find a lost family member.
So in a way, the birth parent search is a kind of act of faith.
Yeah. And also, I just want to show that, you know, if you have faith in God, then anything can happen if God's will be done.
Tell me about some of the things you were talking about and your dad was talking about. You've had some struggles. Mm-hmm. Do you have a diagnosis of Asperger's?
Yeah, Asperger's syndrome, autism spectrum disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder.
When did these diagnoses start to come? When did you start to have this understanding about yourself?
I don't really know. I think... I don't really know, to be honest. And I think that maybe what I first started to notice, like first grade, was that I wasn't fitting in and making friends like normal people. And that was difficult for me because I wanted to have friends so bad, but people didn't understand that I came out an orphanage and I have some autistic tendencies. So
what happened with other kids? Did they start to sort of pick up on the fact that you were behaving differently?
They would pick on the fact that I would behave differently. I would do awkward, quirky things like pick my nose. I wouldn't brush my hair, or I would make noises with things. And people would be like, what is wrong with her? Why is she acting like that? And they didn't understand. And my mom knew that there was something going on. And the teachers didn't have any understanding. So it was a public school with normal kids. So they expected me to act like everyone else and be still for 8 hours in the classroom. And it was difficult. So as I got older, they homeschooled me. They put me in charter school so I'd fit in. It didn't work. Making friends was very difficult. I found the only way I could make friends was through, like, other kids that have autism or Asperger's.
And have you made some good friends that way?
Yeah, I do have a friend that was diagnosed with Asperger's, has have some of the same symptoms. But she's grown up now. She works. She has a boyfriend and all that.
So is she, like, distracted with her boyfriend at the moment?
Yeah, and she works and she goes to school. So I found that literally if you connect with other people with the same disability, it'll be easier.
Your dad was saying that there had been a period where you and he had had some difficulty. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Most fathers and daughters connect normally, but I don't connect because of my disability, and that because also I'm very defiant. Mm-hmm. I like things my way, and I'm very determined. If I want something done, I'll have it done. Or if I want something to go my way, I'll be consistent. And I guess my dad's just as stubborn as I am, you know?
So you guys are kind of butt heads.
Yeah. About little things like what clothes I was allowed to wear, what music I was allowed to listen to, what games I was allowed to play, what friends or whatever friends I had, you know? So, because I saw the world so much differently. I saw, like, all I saw was my dad giving me rules and structure and all these things that he wanted me to follow, and my dad saw just somebody who was just rebellious, and I wanted to be like a normal teen, but I mean, at the time we also know that I also was autistic too. So
do you think your dad was worried or afraid that in some way the autism and the sort of defiance might lead you into situations that weren't good for you? And maybe that's the way that he was reacting out of a kind of fear?
Yeah, because I'm very vulnerable and gullible. I tend to believe what people say or people think. Like, I had somebody told me that I looked retarded, so I honestly believed them. Mm-hmm. And my self-esteem suffered for it. And so I think what it is if you want friends and you're like have a disability, it's hard, connect with other people that have disabilities. Go into groups, you know, have support groups, because that helps a lot.
Have you gotten to know other Chinese adoptees? You mentioned FCC.
Families with children from China adopting. They're putting on a service trip to China. It's called Adoptees Giving Back Orphanage Service Trip. And then they're doing, they also do conferences in other states. For where all the Chinese adoptees get together and they actually bond. I actually met one girl, Nina, who was adopted from my orphanage, Yiwu Social Welfare Institute, and she had gone to several trips, Adoptees Giving Back Orphanage Service Trips.
Is that through Adopteen?
Yeah. They have scholarships, they have fundraising, they have everything you can think of. It's really good because you not only connect with other girls, but you go back to China, you get to help sponsor, and you get to volunteer and help these other orphans in China, you know, where we're at. It's like a link back to my past, so that's really important for me. I do want to go, but I don't have the money.
So that's sort of a goal, that maybe at some point you could make an adoptee trip like that. In the meantime, it sounds like is a lot of your networking that you're doing on social media through Facebook kind of reaching out into the communities that way?
Yeah, because I want to raise awareness and advocate for orphans in China and the one-child policy and all that. I want to show that there's hope and make a difference in the community, you know. Yes, it's definitely a goal. I definitely want to go to the Adoptees Giving Back Orphanage Service Trip as soon as I get the money saved up.
So what are you doing now? Do you live here or do you live in your own place?
I live in a place, it's kind of like a cross between like a group home and a family. It's through Independent Options Adult Family Home Agency. It's for adults with disabilities. And it's through Regional Center, San Diego Regional Center for Developmental Delays. And then I go to a day program for disabled adults. It's called Easter Seals Disability Services. I don't know if you know about Easter Seals is actually worldwide, and it helps people with disabilities be out in the community, work, have all the rights, you know, all that stuff. My Easter Seals is a national city, so I go with a job coach and three other clients that are also disabled to volunteer in certain areas in San Diego. We volunteer at the Humane Society, we volunteer at the Veterans Village, we volunteer at the Garden, we volunteer all everywhere. So
that sounds really cool, actually. Do you like where you live?
Yeah, I do. It's a Filipino family, and it's with two kids, and then there's another client with a disability who lives there. So it can get pretty chaotic.
Oh, how?
Because they have a 3-year-old daughter, and then they have a 10-year-old son.
But it sounds like you found a kind of basically a good sort of living situation that in which you have quite a bit of independence.
Yeah, it helps me be independent, but at the same time, I have someone guiding me, making sure I'm making the right choices, doing my laundry, just making sure that generally I'm taking care of myself, seeing my psychiatrist, all that stuff. So, I mean, because a group home is, for some people, group homes can be too much. But so for some people, living on their own might be too much. So this might be perfect, ideal, you know, for people that want to go and be independent, but have also some special needs.
Does your psychiatrist help in terms of helping you kind of moderate your behavior? Do you take some medicine?
Yeah, I take 60 milligrams of Prozac, and then I'm on birth control.
That's good. Those are both good things to be on. And do you think that Prozac kind of helps you moderate your behavior a bit?
I think so, in a way. I think what helps me most is knowing that there's hope, that I have goals out there. I'm going to work. I'm going to go to school soon. I'm going to be able to make it in the world. I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to be like an active member of society. I'm not going to just sit around and do nothing.
I have the feeling that is definitely true. I don't see you sitting around and doing nothing. Do you see yourself sitting around doing nothing?
Sometimes.
Really? It seems very unlikely to me. What are your goals? If you could sort of, what do you think about, like, I want to do? If you chose a profession or, you know, what would you, when you think 5 or 10 years ahead, if you ever do, what would you like it to look like?
Well, I would most definitely like to volunteer for adopting and go on the AgBOS trips, the Adoptees Giving Back Orphanage Service trips to help. I would also like to be an advocate and advocate for orphans in China, and I want to serve in Chinese orphanages, and I want to sponsor an orphan in China.
And tell me a little bit about your faith. I think your religious faith seems to me to be very important.
It's not a religious faith. It's actually a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus in your heart, then everything's going to go okay. There are going to be some tough times, but just hold on to Jesus, and he'll make your path straight.
So this makes you feel more certain about that things are going to work out.
Well, I know God's out there, and God's real. If God wasn't out there, I wouldn't be alive. I'd be dead in China somewhere, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm lucky to be in America and have, you know, education, a family, you know, support systems for my disability, everything, you know, because if I was in China, I wouldn't have any food, I wouldn't have any education, and I would be in an orphanage just sitting there, or I'd be out in the streets begging for food, you know, and having a disability, they probably would lock me up in an institution.
So what do you want to talk about most with this interview? What have I not asked you that you would really like to address?
That no matter what color skin you have, what race you are, what's your personality, what's your income, what's your education, all that, you can still be a family, because I have two black cousins that are twins. I have a brother who's half white, who's half Puerto Rican. I have three little cousins that are like 2-3 years old. They don't look anything like me, but I still love them, and they're still my family. Love makes a family, not blood, you know.
So you have a very diverse family.
Oh, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Your brother, Eli, is, how old is he now, 31?
He turns 31 in May, May 16th. His real name is Carlito Elias Maldonado, Jr., 3rd.
And how do you guys get along?
Well, when I was younger, I didn't like him because he was always in and out, and he's always going out partying with his friends like a normal teenager. And then right now, as I got older, I have been able to see, you know, things. I've been able to realize that, you know, when my parents do die, I am going to have to hold on to my brother and rely on him for things.
Does he understand that? Do you think he thinks of it that way too? That he'll always kind of back up your parents?
I don't really know. He's had a very different experience in life. He has like 10 years of drug and alcohol abuse, but he's recovering for that and doing well, and he's a Christian. But I think that he sees the world as like unfair, and I agree with that. I have that in common. But he also likes different kinds of music and different kinds of people. And I think he's more like, he's, what's that called? Oh, yeah, he's like a, what is that called? The person that goes, like, in the mountains and stuff.
Like a...
That you always would say?
A nomad?
Yeah, he's like a nomad. My mom would always say he likes to be out and, you know, camping in mountains. He likes to listen. His favorite music is his favorite music is that reggae stuff. Mm-hmm. What's
that name again? He's a spiritual man. In his own way. Yeah.
What is that called?
It's reggae.
No. What is the name of the song?
Bob Marley.
Yeah, Bob Marley. He likes Bob Marley and And he likes all that kind of stuff.
How about you? Do you like Bob Marley?
He's okay.
What kind of music do you like?
I don't know.
What do you like to do? Like, things that you like to do? Do you like to go to the movies? Do you like to go shopping? Do you like... What kind of... If we weren't here, what would you be doing right now?
I guess I'd probably be connecting with other Chinese adoptees on over the internet video chatting to figure out ways how I can help other orphans in China. There are 3 girls that are dying of cancer, and they were adopted from China, and I'm praying for them.
So that's kind of like, this is really the center of what you're thinking about right now.
I'm really passionate about orphans in China because I was an orphan myself, and I really want to do it as a career is help orphans in China.
Well, is there anything I haven't asked that you would like to address before I talk to your mom for a bit?
I just want to raise awareness about equality in America and freedom. And, you know, everybody should be treated equally, regardless of disability or race, regardless of education, income.
Well, I think that's a great message. And I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Also, I want to show that I want to make it clear that unconditional love, if you have unconditional love and God in your heart, then nothing's going to, like, you can... anything's possible.